Chris, can you take us through just the club's injury list and where some of your players are at in regards to this week and, I suppose, future weeks?
Sure. So we had a couple of issues post-game last week. So Tim Kelly was one. We're very confident he'll be available. All the signs are good there. And Mark O'Connor's a virtual certainty, albeit we still have a couple of sessions to go. So, but he looks very good. The longer-term ones... Sorry, we do have another one that we hadn't announced that wasn't clear post-game, but Lockie Henderson has a plantar fascia injury that will probably keep him out for about 2 or 3 weeks, his best guess at the moment. So it's unfortunate for Lockie and for us because he'd been in good form in the VFL, found his way into the team and played well for us, but discretion's a better part of valour with this one. He's going to be important to us later in the year, and particularly with those injuries, even if it's possible to play with them, they can tend to drag on. We had that experience with Harry Taylor last year, so we're going to be conservative with that one. Zach Tui's making really good progress with his knee issue. Touch and go to play some footy this week, but more likely we'll hold him back until next week. Jed Buse is on a similar timeline, maybe a week or so longer, but he's making good progress. Scott Selwood is training really well, but we're holding him back a little bit as well, so it's unlikely he'll play in the next fortnight. Nakai Cockatoo is still a little bit longer term, doing some training, but not close enough for us to be definitive on his return to play status. Unfortunately, Jordan Cunico had a really serious ankle injury in the VFL on the weekend and has had surgery. Hard to put a timeline on his return, except to say that if he does return this season, it wouldn't be until late in the season. So it's really bad luck for a guy that was well and truly right on the fringe of selection. He was our travelling emergency last week, which indicates how close he was. So we all feel for Geordie. Lockie Fogarty's making really good progress from his hip surgery. He's pretty much back in full training, so starting to get closer to a return date, even though we don't have that exactly at the moment. Cam Guthrie is available for selection. He's had a really good week on the track, so an absolute possibility to come straight back into the team given the amount of training he's had. And Jack Henry will be available as well, although we do need to see him train. I don't think I've left anyone out.
Richard, what exactly is the issue that you're dealing with at the moment?
Yeah, I've got to be careful that I don't expand too much and get it a little bit wrong. So I don't mean to evade the question, but there's too big a risk that if I expand, I won't give you an accurate picture. The big picture issue is that he's recovering from a PCL injury that he had surgery on last year. And I said I wouldn't do it, but I'm going to. There are some examples around the competition of players with PCL injuries that take a long time, longer than expected time to recover, and he just appears to be one of them for us.
Just as Lockie was a straight swap for Jack Henry last week, would Jack come back in for Henderson this week then?
Oh, that'd be logical thinking, but we haven't made that decision yet. We need to be absolutely sure that Jack's right, but as I alluded to last week, the early decision to take Jack out was more based around the 5-day break rather than the severity of the injury. So we're really confident he'd be right, and it's a fair assumption or a fair observation to make that even if we have full availability, Jack's been in our best 22, so it's unlikely we'd see any reason to keep him out.
Was there a particular incident with Lockie Henderson last week, or is it saying he's been carrying and it's just bled up a little bit? Or?
No, there was an incident last week, and we weren't aware of it in the immediate aftermath, and this is really the first opportunity we've had to let you know. And we needed to be sure as well. So he'll be out there and he'll do some stuff at training today, but it's clear that it's significant enough to not resolve in time to play this week. So, yeah, he had an acute, I'm going to call it a strain, of the plantar fascia that's not overly serious, but again, the risk of this dragging on and impeding him throughout the whole season is too great to play him prematurely.
That's a pretty long list, what, 7, 8, 9 players. And you're going obviously really well. Is the depth in your squad as good as it's been for a while?
A few players have come on maybe a little quicker than we might have expected. But it's always hard to assess your depth because you're really trying to forecast how your first and second year players will develop. And we're really confident, based on what we did last year, that we've got, you know, a dozen guys who have played, you know, less than 20 or 30 games that can come in and do the job for us. It would be a little bit more of an issue for us if those guys hadn't played much AFL footy last year. Even Charlie Constable and Myers and Atkins have come in and forced their way into our best team. So it's always, in my view, a mistake to get too optimistic about your depth because it can turn really quickly. So we're comfortable that even with a bit of an injury list at the moment, we can put a good team out there, but don't want to court fate.
Mark, please, Sarge, get the first crack at Jeremy Cameron working.
Maybe, but it's not a foregone conclusion that that's the way we'll go. Cameron's in great form, and even the numbers, if you looked at them alone, 30 touches and 7 goals is a big day in anyone's language. And we think Mark's a really good defender, but we have got a couple of options back there, and it'll come down to, you know, assessing the greatest risk, I think, with Cameron, because he's a tall marking player who's elite at ground level as well, so... That presents a bit of a quandary.
There's been a lot of talk about your forward line this year, but your defence hasn't conceded more than 10 goals in a game yet. Have you been really proud of their efforts and the structure you've been able to set up there?
Yeah, we have, and it's a combination of things. The defensive group has had some stability over the previous 12 months in particular, but the whole ground defence, you know, you could make a case to say that the improvements we've made in our forward half defensively have helped as much as anything else in keeping the opposition scores down. We're realistic as well. It rained for most of the game in round two, which makes it a little bit easier. The opposition have been a little bit inaccurate, so yeah, we're not getting ahead of ourselves.
Chris, just back on Zach too, are you still looking at potentially a solid training block and straight into the AFL team as you spoke about last week, or will you have to come back through the...
No, that option's on the table, and it's one that's being debated. And again, it's one where the fixture has to play into our decision making. We had a 5-day break, which is a challenge, and then we've got 2 9-day breaks in a row, which at first glance doesn't appear as challenging, but it does bring in some options because we've got more training time that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Just on your forward line defensive efforts, look up, Dalhouse is third in the league for tackles so far this year. How have you seen his first 3 games for the club?
Yeah, he's been great. He's fitted into our group really well and contributed to trying to build something special in that part of the ground for us. But he would be the first to say that the way it's going at the moment is more a reflection of the collective rather than his individual efforts. But it's good to see that he's enjoying his footy, and winning clearly helps that, but he said publicly as well, it's kind of nice to be home. All those things, I think, are contributing to the way he's going, but I'll say it again, 3 rounds in, we're far from the finished product, so we think we've got some improvement and it's exciting.
You mentioned you had a 5-day break before Adelaide and now a 9-day break. How does the team's preparation kind of differ with those varied breaks?
We tend to look at it more in terms of the overall block, so in a month or a 6-week period, rather than being too specific about the individual weeks. So there's the obvious part with a 5-day break is you can't get much training in. The challenge with 2 9-day breaks in a row is trying to work out how much extra work we should get in without completely offsetting the opportunity for recovery. So if I were you, I'd be bringing up the elephant in the room for us, which is... I don't like going back too far, but it's clear. We've been pretty good off short breaks and pretty poor off long breaks. So we're aware of that, and we're confronting it head on.
What other challenges do the Giants throw at you this week, Scott?
Oh, it's... Scott. Yeah, Scotty. We're on Scotty terms. well, it's... again, I'm repeating myself, but they're one of the logical premiership favourites for a reason. Their midfield, especially with the prospect of Callum Ward coming back in and Kelly back in last week's outstanding. Their forward line's clearly functioning pretty well and looks as if Toby Green might be available as well. They have very good players across all lines, and it's a real mistake, I think, for us to get too caught up on their individual star power and even the way that they combine as a group. But our focus should be on trying to build our game and play as well as we possibly can. If we get too reactive to them, one, it'll be a challenge trying to work out which one to react to because they're such a big group. And secondly, we just don't want to go too far away from what we do well.
What are you doing differently about the 9-day break? Have you identified something that needed to be rectified?
It's a good question, but and probably this is going to be a poor answer, but we think after a lot of soul searching, there aren't any really obvious things that need to shift. I mean, our program's always evolving, so we'd never approach these things by looking back to the last time we had a longer break and saying, okay, what can we adjust from that time? We look at it with a fresh set of eyes, and one of the reasons I'm happy to bring it up is that we're going to be really confident in our preparation. It doesn't guarantee anything in terms of performance, but yeah, we're really confident that our guys will go out there feeling good and be ready to perform well. So I think the biggest thing is trying to balance how much you use the extra time for more work and try to make some incremental gains as opposed to recovery. And I will say that the biggest challenge with the shorter break is getting guys up who have niggling injuries. And we were fortunate last week that we didn't have any. We had a couple of guys a little bit sore, and Lockie Henderson's not going to get to the line. But if anything, the biggest difference is that the 9-day break means a few guys that might have been a bit sore after 5 days should be right after nine.
How do you handle the starter regularly through this period? Chris, you've played 3 games pretty condensed off obviously what you had last year. Are you mindful of, I suppose, not overloading him too much with his footy early? Do you factor in a break for him at some stage?
Yes, we do factor in the potential for him to get a bit of a download, but he's not that different from the majority of our list in that respect. And to be fair, someone fell across his leg last year and he broke his ankle. It wasn't as if he broke down because of any overuse issues. But we are aware that he's a young, developing key forward who has a little bit of an injury history now, so we'd be a little bit more careful with him than others. But there's virtually not a player on our list. I've already flagged, say, for example, Gary Ablett won't play every game this year. Now, for different reasons, Asava's probably in the same boat.
You've got a lot of big blokes running around in the VFL. Are you mindful at some stage that, Reece, obviously, fingers crossed, he's good health all year, plays some great footy, and you don't have to worry about too much about him not being in the side, but are you mindful that you need to expose the other three bigs to AFL football at some stage?
Oh, that wouldn't be a good enough reason to play them. The better reasons would be that they're playing so well at VFL level that they can add to our AFL team. We've seen enough from Ryan Abbott and Zach Smith and Darcy Fort to think that they could, or that they will come in and play AFL footy for us this year. But that'll be off the back of really good form and adding to our team as opposed to any need to expose them to AFL footy for fear they might not be prepared if they have to come in for injury reasons.
Is anybody of that trio knocking the door down to see the VFL Friday night?
Oh, Ryan Abbott's playing really well. Darcy Fort's improving and is probably in a better place than he was a month ago. And Zach Smith's making a promising sort of recovery from injury. I mean, he's fully recovered from the injury issue, but he just hasn't played enough to be banging down the door just yet. But I'd be staggered if Zach doesn't get his chance in our AFL team pretty soon.
Been a bit of talk around this week linking the club to Sydney Kings basketball with Tom Wilson. What do you know about him?
Well, not a lot, to be honest. Certainly not a lot that I'm prepared to talk about publicly. It's not really something that I should be the spokesperson for. So Simon Lloyd is the GM of footy and Stephen Wells is the list manager are probably the ones to direct your inquiries to. But I think it's obvious that as a club we've been really open to different ways in which we can bring players onto our list. But yeah, I'm not at the stage where I can elaborate on Tom's situation.
Yeah,